Thank you, Melissa. Good job on the piano, as always. Appreciate these young people going to their church service and our workers today. So pray that they have a good church service back in our children's building in the back. Take your Bibles and look in the book of Jonah with me, all right? You can go to Matthew and back up a little bit, and you'll be at Jonah pretty quick. Jonah chapter 1, if you'll look there with me. I want to start a series of messages today that'll take us about 4 weeks to do on God in Pursuit. That's the title of the series of messages, God in Pursuit. And the book of Jonah is a wonderful book that really, I think, where we see God in pursuit. And so that's why I want to look at this particular book in the Bible. Now, we're going to read all of chapter 1, but I'm just going to have you stand as we read, verses 1 down to about verse 3. If you're able to stand with me, let's read these verses, and we stand in reverence to the reading of God's Word, of course. And Jonah chapter 1 and verse number 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai. By the way, in Hebrew, the name Jonah means dove, and his father, Amittai, his name in Hebrew means truthful or loyal. The reason I bring that out, that kind of tells you maybe what kind of person that Jonah was, how he was raised, and so forth. Verse 2 says, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me." But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And he went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and he went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Let us pray together. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to meet once again in your house. We thank you, Lord, for those who have brought their Bibles or those who have a Bible before them where they can read and follow along, because, Lord, we're privileged to have the Word of God today. And we thank you for the fact that you have provided that for us. And, Lord, we just pray now that you would just use this opportunity that we have to listen intently to the message that you have provided. And I pray, Father, that our hearts will be tendered to the speaking and the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God this morning. That, Lord, if need be, that as we have an invitation later, that God, that those that you see fit to step forward, that God would do as you would lead. And that, God, that we'll all leave here knowing, Father, we have met with you. Thank you for what you're going to teach us from your word today. Speak to through me, your servant, in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Perhaps some of you have heard about a book that's called The God Chasers. As a matter of fact, there's a complete ministry that's built around this book. It's based upon one of David's statements that's found in Psalm 63 and verse 8, which says, "My soul followeth hard after thee." Now, I cannot endorse the book or the ministry, simply because I don't know a whole lot about them to endorse it, so I'm very careful about that. But the idea of seeking after God is certainly a worthy goal, wouldn't you say? Seeking after God is a worthy goal. Unfortunately, I find that most of the time it is just the other way around, though. And that is that God is seeking after His own, and to that we should be thankful, right? That God is seeking after us. You know, when I was lost, I didn't seek God at all. I'm sure you did not. But God came seeking after me, and God found me. As this saying goes, I once was lost, but now I am found. Who found me? Who found you? Well, God did, because God seeks after the lost. You know, and it's also greatly encouraging to me that God continues to seek me today as He does you. You know, we're prone to wander. Sometimes we're prone to drift away from God, but God doesn't give up on us, which we should all be thankful. You see, He continues to pursue us. And you see, over the next few weeks, again, I'm going to be preaching a series of messages that's entitled God in Pursuit. And today we have a wonderful illustration in Scripture here of God's pursuit in the life of Jonah the prophet. You see, Jonah was not just a Bible story character. Matter of fact, some people think that whenever they read the book of Jonah, it's just a story in the Bible that God put there that's of interest and catches our attention. But you know what? It's not just about a story about a Bible character. Jonah's life was not simply a parable as well. You see, according to 2 Kings chapter 14 and verse 25, Jonah was a real man. Jonah was a prophet of God to Israel under the reign of Jeroboam the second, around 800 years before Christ. You see, as a matter of fact, Jesus did not teach the story in Matthew and Luke as a parable, but Jesus taught it as an actual account that was firmly rooted in history. Because you see, a lot of debate has gone on about Jonah, and of course we know he was swallowed up by a great fish, and of course there are those who said that just couldn't have happened. Well, it did happen. It was a real event that took place. Jonah was a real man of God. He was a prophet. And that's why, again, Jesus made emphasis on that when he wrote about Jonah and stated about what happened in Jonah's life in Matthew and Luke. Now, if I could just real quickly, as a way of introduction today, give you an overview, as I know many of you have read the book of Jonah, or you maybe have it's been taught to you, and I know that it's a wonderful book. I used to remember hearing it taught when I was a child, but it's got a great message to it. See, God calls Jonah to carry his message to a city that's called Nineveh, as we will see. And of course, we know as we read on, Jonah rebels against God. And he runs away to a place called Joppa to get on a ship that's headed for a city that's called Tarshish. Now, Tarshish was really on the southern part, it's believed, on the southern part of Spain. And actually, it was the farthest point away from Nineveh that Jonah could go to. It said it was about 2,000 miles away in travel. Tarshish was a very wealthy city, and so that's where Jonah decided, hey, rather than go where God told me to go, I'm going to go to Tarshish. But God comes after him with a great storm that we'll see in a moment, and the sailors threw Jonah overboard, and God is there with the fish to protect him, and Jonah gets right with God, and the fish spits him out on the shore, and Jonah obeys God, but then he becomes depressed. And God in His mercy goes to him again to reach out to him and to encourage him. Now we've read verses 1 through 3. I'd like to pick up reading verse 4 if you would. Follow with me. But the Lord sent out a great wind. That is, when it says He sent out, God simply, the idea that He hurled a great wind. Now God could probably hurl some great storms, couldn't He? You think about it. This was not just all of a sudden a thunderstorm blew up. This was something that these sailors probably had never seen before. How many of you have been in the Navy or been on a ship before? Raise your hand if you would. Okay. And I'm sure those of you that have been in the Navy, you've seen probably or been on some ship. Maybe you've been out to sea and you've seen some storms. And some of you that have been there, you could probably relate to what these sailors, but this was different. God sent, He hurled a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest, a storm in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken, it was about to break up, in other words. Then the mariners, that is, the sailors, were afraid, and they cried every man unto his God, little g God. By the way, they worshiped the god Baal. And we'll see more about Nineveh, but Nineveh was a city that was really wicked, but yet they worshiped many gods. But the sailors worshiped the god of Baal, which was the god of the sky. Okay, so they knew a lot about, you know, as sailors, they would go out to shore, and obviously, who would they pray to? They would pray to the god of the sky, Baal, because, you know, protect us from the storms and so forth. That was the god they were praying to, not our god. So it says that, and then the mariners were afraid and cried every man to his god and cast forth the wares, that is the cargo, that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, "What meanest thou, O sleeper?" In other words, how is it that you're sleeping? When all the rest of us, are scared to death, and you sleep. He says, "Arise," the shipmaster says, "arise, call upon thy God, pray to thy God. If so be that God will think upon us that we perish." And they said, every one to his fellow, "Come and let us cast, let's cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us." So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. How did that happen? Of all the people on the ship, the lot cast upon Jonah. I believe God had something to do with that, don't you? Verse 8. Then said they unto him, "Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? What is thine country, and what people art thou?" When I noticed that verse, I thought, boy, they ask a bunch of questions all in one time, didn't they? I won't tell you where I hear that sometimes. All right. Verse 9. And he said unto them, "I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land." Then were the men exceedingly afraid. They were extremely afraid, and said unto him, "Why hast thou done this?" Or, "How could you have done this?" For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he told them. Then said they unto him, "What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us, or for us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous." In other words, it was becoming increasingly stormy. It was stormy before, but it's really getting bad now. Verse 12. And he said unto them, Pick me up, and cast me, throw me forth into the sea," Jonah said. "So shall the sea be calm unto you, for I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you." Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord. They prayed and said, "We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and they lay not upon us, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee." So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared their Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice to the Lord, and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared, that's a key word, by the way, the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. The theme of the book of Jonah is not about the great fish. It's not about the great fish. That's not the theme of the book. It isn't about the wicked city of Nineveh. Matter of fact, it isn't even about Jonah. That's not the overall theme. It's about God. That's the theme. You see, what we gain from this particular book, because it is about God, we learn from this little book that our God is a God who cares about us. That God is in pursuit. You see, and that not only does God care about us, but God loves everybody, much like the people of Nineveh, and His mercy extends to all of His creation. You see, he doesn't turn his back upon us when we rebel, but rather he comes after us even in our rebellion, much like we see here in the life of Jonah. You see, he is a God who pursues us when we get off track, and he seeks to bring us back to where we need to be. What we find in the book of Jonah, it reveals God's sovereign rule over mankind. And Jonah is a picture, really, of Israel, what we see here, who was really chosen by God and who was commissioned by God to be a witness. But yet Jonah chose to rebel against God and against God's will. As we look at the word rebellion just for a few moments, we may think, well, I know what that means, preacher, but, you know, sometimes we don't. Matter of fact, we get it confused with a lot of different terminologies or words. You know, by the way, rebellion is not ignorance. You see, ignorance is when we don't know what God wants us to do, right? That's the category for ignorance. So rebellion is not ignorance. And by the way, rebellion is not discouragement. We know what God wants us to do, but we just need some encouragement to get it done. But rebellion, listen to me, is when we know what God wants us to do, but we refuse to do it. You say, preacher, that sounds like my teenager. That sounds like my child. Yeah. That may fit the category there. Rebellion is when we know what God wants us to do, but we refuse to do it. Matter of fact, that's all of us, right? At some point in time in our life. So we like to sometimes point, yes, the finger to our kids, but yet, if we're honest, there's been times in our life, and maybe you're there, that we all have rebellion. You see, God has revealed His will for His Word. And when we know what God says we are to do, but we refuse to do it, then really simply, we are in rebellion. It's not ignorance. You see, it's not that I'm facing discouragement. You see, no matter what area of our lives that may be impacted, you see, whether it be our family, our marriage, our job, or our church, you see, the longer our rebellion lasts, the harder it is to get back to God, isn't it? Now, some of you know what I'm talking about. Some of you have maybe been down that road of rebellion where you'd gotten so far away from God to where it was tough getting back. But aren't you thankful if maybe you made it back? Listen, I remember when I was a teenager, was saved, but I got out of God's will and running with the world for a little bit. But I'm thankful that God allowed me to find my way back. Now, I didn't find my way back to get saved all over again. I was saved. See, once saved, you're always saved. Praise God for that. But we have a tendency, like what we see here in the life of Jonah, we have a tendency as we live our Christian life and we're doing all the right things. And by the way, you can be in church every Sunday. You can be reading your Bible every day. You can be doing all the right things that supposedly a Christian does and still be in rebellion. Jonah was. I imagine Jonah, he knew the Word of God and he studied it well and he was doing all the right things, and then God gave him a tough job to do. See, Jonah was a missionary. Yes, he was a prophet of God, but God came to him and says, hey, I've got a job for you to do, Jonah. And when Jonah heard about it, listen, God, I'm right with you. I'm doing all the right things. But that, he didn't say it quite like that, but yet he acted it out, didn't he? You see, the longer our rebellion lasts, the harder it is to get back. But you know what? God will pursue us. If we're a child of God, He never forgets about us. He never stops loving us. He never stops demonstrating His mercy. There's one thing we can be assured as a child of God. He's going to pursue after us. He will. And by the way, we may not say it then, but yet if we ever came through a time of rebellion and we look back, we can say, God, thank you that you didn't give up on me. Thank you that you pursued after me. You see, God comes calling. God calls, look if you would in verses 1 and 2 again. God comes calling to Jonah. It says that in verses 1 and 2, now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me, God says. Now Nineveh, just a little background on Nineveh again. Nineveh was the capital city of the Assyrian Empire. You see, archaeologists have estimated that the city was 30 to 60 miles across, and the population was well over 1 million people. It was, matter of fact, it was perhaps the largest city in the ancient world during that time. May have been the largest city in the whole world at that time. It was known, though, for its cruelty, the city was. It was the center of idolatrous worship. It was a wicked city that was so wicked that it had come to the attention of God. And similar, if you wish to compare it to maybe another city that in the Bible, it may have been compared to maybe Sodom and Gomorrah. That sort of city. But God was contemplating judgment upon Nineveh. But God chose, rather than bring down His judgment upon Nineveh, God decided to send them His prophet, Jonah, to warn them. And you see, Jonah was God's missionary to Nineveh. That's what God had called him to be. God had commissioned him to go to Nineveh. God's command to Jonah was to cry against the city, as you see in verse number 2. That is that really he was to be the voice of God. He was to carry the message to the city that God had given him to carry to the city of Nineveh. As we see in verse 2, he says to do what? Arise, Jonah, arise. And then what's the next command that God gives him? That is to go. And then we see a third command in that same verse, just a few words later, and that is to cry. Arise, go, and cry, simply to carry my message. And by the way, God has called us to speak for Him, right? As well, right? I mean, we're all missionaries for God. If we're a child of God, we're to be God's missionaries. Now, some of you have jobs you go to every day. You know, I would encourage you, as I've done many times, let that be the mission field. You may not like your job. It may be the most boring thing you do, or it may be the hardest job you can do. But you know what? It can be a mission field. Your neighborhood can be a mission field for God, wherever you live. You know, we are all missionaries in some form or fashion. Matter of fact, Mark 16, verse 15 says, "And he said unto them," Jesus said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Now, by the way, well, some might say, "Well, preacher, that's your job." No, if it was my job, it wouldn't get done, because I'm not able to go to all the world and preach the gospel. Now, God's called me to this our city here, and to as many other pastors are here. This is where God's called me. But there are people around the world, not just missionaries and preachers, but God has given them the missionary job to carry the gospel to all of those who have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Because you know some people that you might be able to win to Christ that I couldn't win. Because God has says, hey, you're to be that messenger in that family. You see, Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20 says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I'm with you," God says, "even unto the end of the world." Now that was the message that God, yes, gave to the disciples, but yet the disciples were they represented the local New Testament church. When God says go, we're all to go. Verse 3, what we find in Jonah chapter 1, verse 3, we find the rebellion of Jonah. Now Jonah, the Bible says he rose, but he rose up to what? To flee. That's what we find here. He rose, yes, he did what God says, he got up, but he didn't do what God had told him to do. You see, he fled from the presence of the Lord. You see, no matter what the excuse, rebellion is the refusal to do what we know God wants us to do. And God will come at us on a daily basis, every single one of us. And you know what? We're to listen to that still small voice of God and to follow His plan. God has His plan, His will, His way for each and every one of us. Now, Jonah, now listen, he was a prophet of God. Now, God didn't come to everybody in the same way, but God came to Jonah. Rather than follow God's plan, Jonah avoided God's plan for his life. Jonah, matter of fact, he wanted to get as far away as he could from doing what God had called him to do. Matter of fact, as I said, he traveled a great distance, or was going to travel a great distance to get away from God. You know, we find that this is the only recorded instance of a prophet refusing to do God's commission in the Bible. Jonah. The only recorded place in the Bible where we find a prophet of God refusing to do the commission of God. So when Jonah got to Joppa, the Bible says that he got on a ship to take him far away. And by the way, Nineveh was about 700 miles east of Israel. You can kind of picture that in your mind. It'd be like kind of like, you know, if you were in the state of Alabama and traveling, what, over to about, what, Texas or whatever, I guess that'd be about that amount. And Tarshish was about 2,000 miles west of Israel. It'd be like traveling from here to maybe almost to California. I think, how far is it, brother? He's not in here. I've never driven to California, but it's a long way. It's a few thousand miles at least, 2,400 miles. So it'd be kind of like that. You see, when we rebel against God, we make a conscious choice, do we not, to disobey. Listen to me. I'll make that statement again. When we rebel against God, we make a conscious choice to disobey. In other words, it's our decision to say no to God. It's not that we, like Flip Wilson used to say years ago, the devil made me do it. Our kids don't know who in the world is Flip Wilson. My mom used to love to watch Flip Wilson. But you know what? Have you noticed the devil gets a lot of credit for things that we choose to do sometimes? Now, he does do a lot to encourage what we choose to do. But you see, we make a conscious decision. Jonah did that. Jonah rose up to flee. He went down to Joppa. He found a ship going to Tarshish, which, by the way, he was looking for it. He was consciously looking for a ship to go, to not go to Nineveh, but to go to Tarshish. What did he do? We know he was looking for it because he paid the fare. Whatever it cost, I'll pay it. He boarded the ship and he went down into it to get away, to hide out maybe, I guess. And it, you know, by the way, if we do not do what God calls us to do, we can always find another way to go, can't we? You know, isn't that true? If we want to get around God, we'll find a way to get around it. You know, another way to go. But you know what? But no one can flee from the presence of the Lord. Please note with me, because of the omnipresence of God, we're not going to be able to flee from His presence. Why? Because God's everywhere. So we might think we're hiding out from others, and we may, but God knows where we're at, and God knows our heart. So Jonah rebelled. Another thing that I want to point out here in verses 14 through 17, God pursues Jonah. We read that. Aren't you glad again for God's pursuit in our life? And we see God pursuing Jonah here. God pursues His disobedient children. You know, I've observed, and I'm sure you've been one of those parents, and I've been one of those parents, but I have observed parents with little children in public. Now, I'm at the age where I can sit on a bench, and while my wife is shopping, and I can just observe all that goes on around me, and I can watch. Because I'm thinking, surely we wasn't those kind of parents. But we were. But I've noticed when parents will come up with little kids and those little kids will take off, what are those parents going to do? They take right off after them. You know, they pursue after them. Sometimes those little children will run away from mom and dad, and the parents are always, boy, they run after them. Why? Because they love them. And they don't want them to get in a way that will cause harm to them. You see, God does the same thing to us. God loves us so much that He will chase after us. He will pursue us. God's love for us surpasses our love for our children, does it not? You know, is it any wonder then that His pursuit of us will be just as great as His love for us? So what does God do in Jonah's life to pursue after Jonah? By the way, in the book of Jonah we'll be going through, there are over 10 miracles, right about 10 miracles that take place. And we'll see about 3 or 4 before we're finished with this chapter today that took place in the life of Jonah. 10 miracles that God did. One is that God sent a storm to pursue after Jonah. You see, the storm was directed Jonah's way. You see, it must have been an amazing storm. Verse 4 says, "But the Lord sent out a great wind." That is, He literally hurled out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest, a storm in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken or to break up. You see, and so what was the sailors doing? They became afraid, and we see here they began to throw their cargo overboard. And by the way, understand that this is not, they had been through storms before. And you know, it's not likely that every time they go through a storm, they start throwing their possessions overboard, because this was their livelihood. These sailors, their livelihood that they were throwing overboard. So it had to be really bad, right? For them to throw their livelihood, their living, overboard. I mean, that's the kind of storm it was. And they were so afraid that they were all praying to their gods for help. All except who? Jonah. Where was Jonah? Jonah was down in the bottom of the boat somewhere, sound asleep. Because he didn't care. He didn't care what was going on. Notice with me, you know what? I found that people who rebel against God are totally self-absorbed. In other words, sometimes we get so far away from God, it doesn't matter what people think. It doesn't matter what my parents think. It doesn't matter what the church thinks, what the preacher thinks. I'm going to do what I want to do type thing. They get so self-absorbed that they don't care about how their rebellion will impact those around them, those that love them. You see, the sailors, they were in a panic, though. Matter of fact, they were in a panic to discover who or what was causing God to be so angry. They understood that this wasn't just a storm, just that ordinary storm that they've seen before, but this was a supernatural act of God. You see, the shipmaster came to Jonah. He woke him up and he called him to pray to his God, because everybody else is praying to their God. Jonah, you need to wake up. And they were in a panic mode. You need to pray like the rest of us are doing. And the others, they began to gather together. And the shipmates began to cast lots, only to discover that it was Jonah who was the cause of this evil. And they questioned him at length. They did, Jonah. And Jonah finally told them why all of this was happening. Jonah told them to go ahead and throw him overboard. You know, by the way, look what he did here. Jonah, he says in verse 12, "And he said unto them, Take or pick me up and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm or become unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest, great storm is upon you." Jonah had gotten so far away from God at this point of rebellion that apparently he would have rather have died than to go to a city that needed Jesus, that needed God. Throw me overboard. And finally, after doing all they could do to avoid the sailors, as we read the story here, they gave in and they threw Jonah into the sea while praying for God's forgiveness. Now I want to close with this so you don't miss this. We get to verse 17. "Now the Lord had prepared." And I told you that's a key word. "The Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights." If you don't get anything else with me, please focus in on what I'm about to say now. Consider the preparation of God in Jonah's life here. It says, and the Lord had prepared. I want you to consider the preparations that took place in Jonah's life. First of all, God had prepared a place for Jonah to preach. Would you agree with that? Where was that place that God said, Jonah, I want you to go to? Nineveh. God had prepared that place. And by the way, when God comes calling and asking us to do something, He's already gone ahead of us, hadn't He? He's not going to ever ask us to do something that He's not going to prepare ahead for us. If in Jonah's case, God was going to go before him because God's already was preparing the way. So He had prepared a place for Jonah to go preach, and that was Nineveh. And secondly, God had prepared the message that Jonah was to deliver. So Jonah didn't really have to worry about coming up with messages to preach. Listen, you just need to be willing to preach. And really, that's the truth with any preacher. You know, we don't have to worry about what am I going to preach. God's already has the message if we'll just be open to God's will. And yes, there's preparation that goes into it, but yet God has the message for us. And God had the message that He wanted Jonah to preach. And then the third thing, God had prepared a storm to chase Jonah down as he ran away. God prepared that storm. It wasn't that somebody came up with this. By the way, the Baal God didn't do it. Their sky God didn't do it. God prepared the storm for Jonah to chase down Jonah. And then number four, what do you think else that God prepared? God prepared that great fish. God prepared a fish to deliver Jonah from a certain death. You see, that great fish wasn't God's judgment, but it was God's, listen to me, it was God's mercy. You see, sometimes we think when things bad happen in our life, well, God's punishing me. No, it may be that that's why God's showing you His mercy for you, because He's pursuing after you. He's not wanting you to give up and mistrust what God's trying to do in your life. You see, God has prepared the way if we'll trust Him. And then notice this. I want you to consider the preparation of God for our lives this morning. First of all, that God, He's prepared a means whereby we can be saved. Hadn't He? God did that for some of us. When it was 11 years old, God prepared a means for me to get saved. And I'm not going to go into my testimony. I love sharing my testimony, how I got saved. I really do. I'm not bragging about it. But when I preach messages like this, it just excites me to know that, listen, God went before me and God prepared the way. And God had that bus ministry in an old country church. And God brought a bus 7 miles from out of town to come get me, to take me to church, because I had been praying, God, help my mom and dad to get saved. Because you see, there was alcohol in our home. There was all kind of turmoil and between my mom and dad. And I just wanted to see them saved so bad. But I didn't know how that was going to happen. God prepared me. You could share some of the same testimony maybe. Something similar. Like you listen, when you listen today, if you're not saved, God's prepared a way. He allowed you to be here today. He's allowed you to come to church today. And maybe giving you one more opportunity to make it happen. He prepared our hearts to receive Christ when He presented the gospel. He prepared a place, the local church, for us to worship Him in today. He prepared a place, the local church, for us to serve Him in today. You see, He's preparing a place for all of us to be able to join Him one day, called heaven. Aren't you thankful for the providence of Almighty God? We sometimes wonder what God is up to. And sometimes God will come calling. And He may come at us in a way that we don't like. And sometimes we question it. But if it's God, listen, don't run from God. Don't let rebellion set in your lives. You see, rebellion is the refusal to do what God tells us to do. We know what to do. We know, you may be here, I know, preacher, I need to be saved, but not right now. Then what you're saying, I'm refusing. I'm refusing what I know what to do. It may be that God says you need to serve, you need to get active, you need to I'm not saying that God's going to come calling you to the mission field just because you may get active in church or join a church or whatever. Listen, but we need to not run from God and rebel, because God has a plan. Did you notice that Jonah was willing to die rather than repent? He's willing, just throw me overboard. Why didn't he heed the words of the shipmaster to call upon his God? Because I honestly believe, like Jonah, the longer we stay in rebellion toward God, the harder it is to get back to where we need to be. Because you see, we're all guilty to one extent or another, just like Jonah doing the same thing. It may be that some of us would rather go to our grave than to go to our knees. But we don't have to do that. You see, God, in His wonderful mercy, is a loving God who desires that we turn to Him in repentance and obedience. You say, preacher, that I don't need to do that. You know what? You may not need to be saved here today, but if you've committed sin, which we all are capable of doing, and you don't repent of it, then you know what? That begins to build and build and build to where, if not careful, we'll be like Jonah. Let me ask you, are you running from God this morning? Have you refused to obey God's word? If so, why not come to Him right now? Why not come to Him right now? Why not get that settled? You say, preacher, we just had a revival and, you know, why are you still speaking on subjects like this? And we were challenged with something very similar this week, because you know what? We still need revival. I don't say that because of anything bad. I just say that, listen, just because revival is over with and Brother Mike's gone to his church doesn't mean that, listen, the spirit of revival is not to be there. Listen, I firmly believe that we need to be open to letting God pursue us. And there may be some this morning. Maybe you're doing all the right things, but you're still running from God. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, don't say no to God today. Because you know what? God may not come at you again. You see, there's a time where God's Spirit may stop moving. That's not to say He's not willing to save, but if He's convicting that heart today, that's time to do something about it. Let's get it settled. Would you stand with me this morning with heads bowed and eyes closed? Thank you for listening this morning. I want to encourage you, if God spoke to your heart for whatever reason, Christians are praying right now across this room, and I believe in this room there may be at least one who has never trusted Christ as Savior. Now, if you're willing to let us this morning and trust us, we'd be glad to show you. If you'll take that first step and let God take the rest, we'll show you from God's Word how you can invite Jesus in your heart and life to be your Savior. In other words, how you can leave here knowing heaven be your home. Getting saved doesn't mean walking an aisle saves you. Getting saved doesn't mean joining a church saves you. But accepting Christ in your life just simply means that you realize you're a sinner in need of a Savior and be willing to accept what God has done for you on the cross of Calvary. And we'd be glad to show you how you can invite the Lord in your life. If it's baptism, church membership this morning, if God's speaking to your heart for whatever reason, we invite you to come. Father, thank you for this time of invitation. And Lord, help us to be obedient to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Help us not to rebel, but God, to do what you say to do right now in our heart. Not to walk out these doors, Lord, with unconfessed sin, with living in disobedience. Lord, it may be a teenager, it may be a mom or dad or an older adult, whatever it is. I pray that God, that we would accept your love and mercy as it reaches out to each and every one of us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. John's going to lead us in our song of invitation.